And so we're going to talk about a man on the run today. And there's been plenty of people on the run. You have at one time or another probably, but we want to talk about that today, a particular man. So let's notice Genesis chapter 27. We'll begin at verse 41. Praise the Lord. And here we have the story of Jacob and Esau, and they were brothers that didn't get along very good. And it would turn to that they didn't get along at all. So in Genesis 27, verse 41, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will kill my brother Jacob. And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah, that was the mother. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Rise, flee from to my brother Laban in Haran. Let's move to the 28th chapter in verse 5, where it says, so Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Paddan Aram, to Laban the son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. And skip down to verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you all your seed, and in your seed all families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 15, behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob arose that morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that place previously had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way, that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Father, I thank you for your word today, and I pray your blessings, God, upon the ministry of the Scriptures. God, anoint your servant, anoint your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Let me ask you a question that I already know the answer to. Have you ever wanted to run from something just to get away from the present situation, to get away from somebody? Don't look at your companion. Or just to leave it all behind? Surely we all have those feelings. But running from a problem never fixes the problem. Facing it with God's grace and God's help does fix the problem. And some things call for endurance. And Jacob, for a short time here, would have to endure Esau's anger, his brother's anger. And Jacob and Esau, they were brothers, but Esau was the firstborn and had the right to receive all the, at least over half of the family blessings and the father's blessing. But Jacob somehow didn't care about this, and he wanted both. And so we look at the names of Esau. Esau was was born, and he was red and hairy. That's what Esau means, red and hairy. So they named him Harry. No, they named him Esau, because that's what he saw. Anyway, and then Jacob was born, and when he was born, he was just slick. And so that's what his name means. Jacob means supplanter and deceiver, so he was slick. His last name wasn't Willie. Okay? So the birthright and the blessing here, and it came, and Esau was hungry, and he came by, and Jacob was cooking a pot of stew. And so Esau comes by and says, I'm hungry, and if it's my life is not worth anything if I don't eat because I'm tired and hungry. And Jacob said, sell me your birthright, and I'll give you a bowl of stew. And so they for a pot of stew, he sold his birthright. Amen. And so that's why they called him Edom, because he's hungry. Not really. And so Esau received that, and he got up, he ate and drank, and went on his way as if nothing had happened. He sold his birthright to his brother by vow. Then it came time for the blessing, which the father would put upon the children, especially the descendants of Abraham. And so the blessing would go, and through deception, Jacob would receive the blessing, the family blessing that went with. Actually, the blessing of Abraham would be imparted to him. And the blessing of Abraham was, God said, I will be with you, I will bless you, and I will cause you to be a blessing, and in you all nations of the earth will be blessed. That's in Genesis 12. And so the blessing was imparted to Jacob, and it was given there by deception of both Jacob and his mother. But yet the blessing of God would be upon him, and Esau was very angry at his brother for receiving the blessing. And he intended to kill Jacob because of this. Verse 27, 42. Rebekah sent to her son Jacob, younger son, and said, surely your brother comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now, Esau didn't have a plan to hurt Jacob. He didn't have a plan to do him wrong. He didn't have a plan to take something that was his. He intended to put him out of order, to kill him. Amen, completely. Because, you see, the blessing was prophetic. God would bless, God would multiply all that the father had, and this would be spiritual blessings and a protection by God, and would affect all the family for generations. It would affect all peoples, because by these blessings, it would apply to the Messiah, Jesus, and all families of the earth would be blessed, because salvation would be available through the blood of Christ to all families of the earth. So Jesus would come through this family line eventually and be the salvation of the world. So you and I are blessed today because God imparted this blessing to Abraham and his descendants. And Esau, he regretted so much not receiving the blessing and taking it for granted. And he regretted losing the prophetic blessing. His anger was seen, and that he wanted to murder his brother. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it addresses this, cross-reference. Hebrews 12 and 16, it said, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. He found no way to reverse the blessing to come upon him instead of Jacob, his brother. There was no way. It was done. Okay, and so Esau was angry, and the prophetic blessing would not go to him. It would go to his brother. And so he was at the point, you say, he surely lives up to his name, supplanter and deceiver. And so Esau regretted losing this prophetic blessing, and his anger was aroused, and he wanted to kill his brother. But you know, to go on in life without God's blessing is unthinkable to you and I. And through Christ, we are blessed. We are his people. We're his people. We're sheep of his pasture. We belong to him, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. Amen. We belong to him. And so to go on without God in this life was unthinkable to me. The blessing of God is upon the Christian, upon you. And Jacob would run to escape Esau's vow to kill him for stealing his inheritance and his blessing. So Jacob had to go somewhere, so he'd flee to the place where his relatives were in the land of Haran. And it's on this journey, on this man on the run would have an encounter with God. So let's look at that. An encounter with God. I'm glad that sometime in my life I had an encounter with God. And if you had an encounter with God, doesn't mean that you're better than somebody else or you got it before somebody else got it and took it from you. But it means you had an encounter, an experience with God, especially when you were saved. You knew that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You know that he shed his blood because he loved you personally and died for your sins and paid the price that you could never pay for your sins. And so we all have an encounter with God when we're saved. But let's look at Jacob's encounter here. In verse 11, we find 28 and 11, Jacob came to a certain place that night, stayed all night there because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he laid down that place to sleep. And here was a man on the run. I doubt if sleep was the greatest thing that came to his mind, but he was tired enough, that's what he did. And so here Jacob is on the run, probably discouraged, maybe full of doubt, and uncertain of what could happen or what might happen to him. And he was going on a long trip. He was on the run. And he was going back to some of his relatives. But he didn't know what would happen along the way. So he had to run in faith that God was leading him. And you and I, we've all been here running from something we feared. Something that there seemed no escape from. Maybe that's what you're dealing with today, somebody here. Something you don't see any escape from. You don't see any way out. In a situation you wish you could do, if you had something to do, if you had life to do over or something to do over, you'd have made different choices. But yet there seems to be no way out. I've been there. I'll relate one of those to you this morning, if you don't mind a personal illustration. Years ago when I was pastoring in El Dorado, and my eldest son, Nathan, he wasn't very eldest then. He was about 2 years old. It's before Philip ever came along. And one Sunday morning, I'd gone to the church early, and I'd come back to get ready for church again, and Nathan had dropped a large jar of something on his toe, peanut butter, and it was bleeding, and he was crying, and he couldn't get over it, and you don't just get over dropping something big on your toe. Amen. And so he couldn't go to church that morning, and so we had a huge congregation, about 6 to 10 people. And so Norma couldn't go to church. She stayed home with Nathan, which she should have done. She's a good mama. And so I had to go to church. I had to play the piano. I had to lead worship. Amen. And then I had to preach. And so I said, God, help me. And God did help me. And we had an enormous salary at that time in our church that my income was $50 a week. Man. And so that week, there was a man there that I didn't recognize. He was another minister, I guess. And God helped us all always to pay our bills, to pay our tithes first. We paid $5 tithes when our income was $50. We did it. God said to, so we did what he said. But as the man left the meeting that day, he didn't say a word to me. He said just a shake hands, hello, and I guess he felt sorry for me. He gave me a $20 bill when he walked out the door. So that was God's way of supplying my need. Praise the Lord. I don't remember what I spent it off. And I gave $2 to God, tithe. But God was there, and God had not left me alone. And my friend, that may be seemingly a small story to you, but there's times in your life, if God hadn't have been there, you wouldn't have made it very good. And maybe it wasn't the same thing as I've talked to you about this morning, but I'm telling you, friend, you and I need and have an encounter with God along the way. And God's never absent from us. And here Jacob had a dream. Amen. Here he was, discouraged. He was on the run. He was running from his brother Esau. He said, if I stay around very long, I'm not going to escape. I'm going to die. And so that'd give you a reason to run. And he did. But he was running from that, from his brother Esau. And Jacob was alone. Here he finds himself at the end of the day, and he had to lay down and sleep. Pulled up a rock, you know, to put his head on, I guess. It don't sound like a very good pillow. But anyway, I heard of a lady one time that had three dogs in her house, and when she got cold, she just pulled up another dog. But here Jacob was alone, or at least he thought he was alone. And he was used to having it all. I mean, he come from a wealthy family. I mean, Abraham's family, Isaac, they had plenty of everything. They had plenty to eat. They had plenty of clothes to wear, all this kind of stuff. He was used to food. He was used to no lack of anything. His family had security, the plenty of people to guard the home and possessions, but now he had no one. He was alone, or at least he thought he was. And he was alone in a lonely place, without family, without friends, without protection. And this would be a test of Jacob's faith, because he needed to have an encounter with God. And sometimes, friend, being alone is when we can hear from God the best. No, you may not be a loner, and you enjoy having family and friends around, and you're glad that somebody's around that'll laugh at your dumb jokes, like mine, and all of you heard them all, so I won't tell anymore. Okay. But it was here in the place alone with God that God would do a change in Jacob's life. It is here that God would change some things, and it's alone with God sometimes that God changes things about you, about your character, about the way you perceive things, about the way that you look at things. And you begin to see things through God's eyes when it's just only you and God. That's all that's left. And He's more than enough. And all that you need and all that you've ever needed and ever will need is God. Amen. And it's here that God can change some things in your life when you're going through it. Maybe you're on the run from something this morning. I don't know. And I don't know anything about your personal life, but I don't know that you may be on the run about something today. But this may be a time that you need to get alone with God and say, God, I need to hear your voice. Amen. Maybe you slipped a little bit in your prayer life. You hadn't read your Bible like the way you should. You hadn't prayed the way you should. Say, God, I need you. I want to tell your friend that God is there to hear. God is there to respond. God has not left you alone. You're not alone if you're a child of God. You're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and you're not going to be alone. Praise the Lord. And so here God would change Jacob's name. His name was Jacob, supplanter and deceiver. And it would be changed to Israel, which means prince with God. So Jacob would undergo a character change here and a name change. And while Jacob was asleep here, God showed up in a dream. That's good. Most certain that 99% of my dreams weren't divine. Most of them were stupid. I've heard from God in a dream several times that I knew it was God, but most of the time it's just because you ate pizza too late or something, you know. But God showed up in a dream in a wonderful vision of angels ascending and descending. If you can put yourself in that place, just say you're asleep and you come up and God gives you an awesome dream. You see angels ascending and descending on a ladder back and forth to heaven. That was an awesome experience. It was a life-changing experience. It was an encounter with God Almighty. Hallelujah. In this wonderful vision of angels ascending and descending on a ladder that reached to God in heaven, and God was at the top of the ladder. God was at the top of the ladder. God is above all things. God is above all your fears. God is above all doubts and depression and discouragement and fear. God is above all those things. He cares for you today. He loves you today. He will help you today. He will deliver you today. He will open doors for you. God will make a way I want to tell you, friend, when there's no other way, there's God's way, and God's way is really the only way we need anyway. And God was showing Jacob here, I'm up here, I'm looking down on you, I know where you are, I know what you're going through, I know that you're trying to escape a possible murder, I know you're trying to get out of this, and God says, I'm with you, I'm right here in this place with you. For you see, the Lord is with us. And one of the names of God is Jehovah Elyon. I don't know if I pronounced that right. E-L-Y-Y-O-W-N. But it has any meaning that means God, the Lord Most High. And whatever you're facing today, God is above it. My friend, you're not alone. He cares. He loves. He helps. My friend, you're never going to face anything in this world that God is not already over it, above it. Matter of fact, when Jesus rose again from the dead, it says that he's exalted far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And all things are under his feet. You're not going to find anything that's too big or too powerful for God not to handle. He can handle it. Our part is to trust him, walk with him, trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Praise God. And so God Most High, God was at the top of the ladder. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. Psalms 42 and 7 and 2 tells us. And God has always has ways to make himself known in the most unlikely places. God can talk to people anywhere. He can talk to Jonah in a whale's belly. It kind of says you can be anywhere. God was present in the lion's den with Daniel. God was present in the fiery furnace with three Hebrew children that wouldn't bow and bend and burn. God is with you in unlikely circumstances. At times when you feel alone, you feel like nothing is going right, when you feel this can't possibly work out, I want to tell you something. It's not too hard for our God to work it out. My friend, he doesn't have to work anything out. He's already all-powerful, all-knowing. He knew what you were going through before you ever went through it. Amen. And he is there to hear you, to be with you, to help you, to guide you. You're not going to go through any sickness, disease, infirmity, and those things may come and will come probably to as many people at many times. And you may not know whether you're going to die suddenly, if you're just going to go to sleep, not wake up and only wake up in heaven, or if you'll suffer with some disease or sickness until you die. You can't know all that, but I know a God that knows everything about you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to be with you in the midnight hour. God is not absent. He's with you. He said, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world, end of the age. Praise the Lord. So God is never absent from the believer. Amen. And God never misses anything, regardless of how you may feel. And people may say, well, God just didn't see me today. Yes, he did. And I can assure you that God has never run up against anything he didn't know what to do. He knows what to do. He may not do what you want him to do, but he'll do what's best for you. Praise God. So we see that Jacob came here and he had an encounter with God. And we see that God spoke during this time. Verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac, and the land on which you lie I will give to you and to your descendants. Here Jacob is laying here with his head next to a rock and he says, you know, God, I hope the sleeping arrangements are better than this. That's not in the scripture. But he said, I've blessed you and I'm going to give you the blessing of Abraham. And God said to him, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. And you're going to spread abroad from the east to the west to the north and the south, and in you and all families of the earth will be blessed. Of course, that was fulfilled in Jesus, where salvation is available to whosoever, any language, nation, tribe, and tongue ever may call upon the Lord and be saved. That's the reason we get the gospel to every person we can. And so God gave these promises to him, and I believe they're applicable to us today. Verse 15, behold, I am with you. That's a promise of God. You may be lonely or alone now, but my promise is that I will be with you. That was God's promise to Jacob here. He says, I'm going to be with you. You may feel lonely, Jacob. You may feel lonely tonight. You may feel like you're alone. But my promise is that I am with you. Verse 15, I am with you. And God will always be with you even when you feel lonely. Amen. You ever felt alone? I know you have. Amen. Is there anybody that understands? Is there anybody that's ever been what I've been through? I can assure you, most likely they have. But you don't know my situation, but God does. I'm with you. Somebody's playing music and I'm not even to the altar call yet. Okay. God says here, I am with you. In verse 15, he says, I will keep you. You see, we want somebody to know that we've got security there. We'll be kept. When it is impossible odds that surround you, God will keep you. Amen. And God kept Jacob until he got to the place where he was going. God never was absent, but he kept him. Amen. And we're assured today that God will keep us, even in the Christian walk. Praise the Lord. In the book of 1 Peter, that book was in here yesterday. There it is. 1 Peter chapter 1. It says that God has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. He's begotten us to an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You think God's just going to suddenly abandon you when he's promised all this to you? No, he's not. And he said, you're kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. God saved you to be with you. God saved you to keep you. In the book of Jude, it says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And God is able to keep us from stumbling. God is able to keep us from falling. Amen. You may feel like that you fell and you may fall and you may, but you don't have to stay down. God will lift you up. God will pick you up. You know, when John the Revelator, the last apostle, longest living apostle, the only one that died a natural death, but he was in the Isle of Patmos, and God said, I'm here with you. God showed himself in a powerful vision, first chapter of Revelation. He saw the glorified Christ. He saw the risen Christ. He saw the exalted Christ at the right hand of the Father. He had seen Jesus in his earthly life. He'd seen him resurrected from the dead, but he'd never seen him in all of his glory. And when John saw Jesus, the Bible says, I fell at his feet as dead. He wasn't dead, but he was just overwhelmed by the weightiness and the heaviness of the glorified Christ, the glory of God. Amen. And so God helped him, and God gave him a great revelation, a great encounter with God. Amen. And so God will keep us. Regardless of what you have to go through, God will keep you. In verse 15, it says here in our text, it says, I will not leave you. Amen. God's not going to just leave you, abandon you somewhere or another where you can't, there's no way out. He's not going to do that. I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. God said to Jacob, he said, I'm not going to leave you until I have accomplished my purpose for you in life. And God's not going to abandon us until he accomplishes his purpose in us in this life. Amen. Philippians 1:6, being kept confident of this very thing, that he who has begun the good work in you will see it to completion to the day of Jesus Christ. God didn't save you to leave you. God didn't save you to abandon you. God didn't save you to just be with you a short time. God saved you to be with you forever. That's the reason it's called eternal life, not temporary life or temporary blessing, but God has promised that he would be with us forever. And we'd have a place in his eternity. Amen. That's what we want. That's what we must have. So God says, I'm with you. I will keep you. I will not leave you. And we know that God had plans for the place where that Jacob was that night. And Jacob woke from his sleep and he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Amen. Jacob said, I know I've had a dream and surely God was here. I don't see him now, but it surely was here. And the Bible says he was afraid, verse 17 of our text. How awesome is this place? He says, this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven. He saw. Of course, we know the Bible says Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so he said, how awesome is this place? He says, this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob certainly received assurance and a word from God that he could go on and God would be with him and God would protect him, God would keep him, God would bring him to the place and God would not forsake him or leave him. And you and I can have the same promises today, for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God too. And he marked this place with a stone. Verse 17, it says, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God that is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, which means house of God. And so he said, surely this is a place that God has. And there was a time when God led him back to that place. He said, I need you to go back to Bethel, the place where you built an altar to God, where you were, because you're never going to forget this place where God visited you. So he went back there, and this place was marked with a stone, and that day many times a pile of stones or a stone revealed something to bring to their remembrance of what happened at that place. Okay? My friend, if you're on the run today, I want to tell you something. You don't have to run anymore. You don't have to fear anymore. I know the enemy of your soul wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but he didn't have the authority to because you're in the house of God. I'm not talking about this building, but when you have Christ in your heart, he's there with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will follow you. He will go with you. He'll help you make decisions you don't know how to make yourself. Amen. I want to tell you something, friend. You don't want to be out of the will of God, but you don't have to be out of the will of God because he's a present Jesus who speaks and comes to you in the hour of need and says, this is the way I want you to go. This is the way, walk in it. Amen. So you don't have to worry anymore. God is here and God is with you forever. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't have that promise. But if you know Christ as your Savior, you do have that promise. Good news is anybody and everybody can be saved and wants to be saved and wants the promise of God with them. Praise the Lord.